Joint Ways and Means Committee Subcommittee Meeting on Natural Resources for March 13th, 2017. We have a lot of people who want to speak, and in fact, an overflow room from what I understand. So we're going to try to go through this relatively quickly, and can we do a minute, a timing situation?
I think at least two minutes.
Yes, 2 minutes.
And we've got two more people signed up. That's it so far.
So it's quite a list. I see a couple of people I recognize who have commented before. So, but we will have this begin this hearing on the Ways and Means, and we're looking at SB 5518. Open up the public hearing on that, public testimony on the Department of Environmental Quality. So, as we begin, I'll start off with, we'll start off with Chairman Gary Burke, Confederated Tribes of Umatilla, Chairman Austin Green as well, and I think we'll go with those two right now, if that's all right.
Oh,
there he is. I knew he was in here somewhere. If you'd please give your name, and you can start right away.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Gary Burke. Confederate Tribes Umatilla Indian Reservation. I'm chairman of the Board of Trustees. We appreciate your partnership with the positive working relationship for Oregon agencies. We work very closely with DEQ because of our shared commitment to protect the ecosystems that support our treaty reserved rights and resources. We continue to support and engage with the DEQ in protecting water and air quality and addressing environment hazards. We've partnered with DEQ in the years-long process to improve water quality standards so that they could safeguard the health and tribal members. All citizens of Oregon who eat fish and value cleaner water have reaped the benefits. We recognize the budget is tight in the biennium. At the same time, we can't ignore that the federal environmental protection are at risk. The proposed reductions in the federal efforts will undo the progress we have made in protecting the natural resources that Oregonians value. It will take the tribes and the state working together to maintain protections. We support the DEQ budget's request and the Governor Brown. The governor's budget includes additional $3 million for spill response not in DEQ's budget, but we want to flag it for subcommittee or natural resources and highlight the DEQ role in the spill response. Union Pacific derailment in Moser was a wake-up call. The DEQ needs a consistent funding to address spills that have the potential for catastrophic impact. The current spill response budget is cobbled together from sources with no general fund dollars. We encourage you to increase the funding for spill response personnel because we have many derailments and spills over the last few years, but the personnel numbers have not increased. And for us, the nearest DEQ response staff is 3 hours away in Portland. We support the using part of the added $3 million to fund the important work laid out for DEQ's policy opinion package 134 related to the spill response. Thank you again for this time to testify on behalf of the Confederate Tribes Umatilla Indian Reservation, 12 Statute Point 945. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. My name is Eugene Austin Green, Jr., and I am the chairman of the Tribal Council of the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon. My testimony today is in favor of Senate Bill 5518, the Department of Environmental Quality budget with a policy option packages. My tribe is primarily concerned with the water quality budget, which is needed at a higher level than that of the governor's budget to ensure protection of our sacred rivers and the salmon brothers who swim upstream to feed us. We agree with the governor that another $3 million is needed for spill response, and most of all, it should be in the DEQ budget. In the tradition given us by the Creator millennia ago, the salmon people are our first food. The health of salmon, sturgeon, lamprey, and other fish people are important to our people beyond what words can express. After water alone, these are the most precious gifts of the Creator. They are the basis of our culture and survival for many thousands of years. If they are poisoned, we are poisoned. Salmon returns to the Columbia River Basin are a small fraction of historic levels. Fish tissue contamination of Columbia River fish reflects an ecosystem of impaired water quality and degraded salmon habitat. Chemical contamination of surface water and sediments presents difficult challenges to water resource managers, but you can help correct it with an adequate water quality budget. These challenges include sublethal and lethal impacts to salmon, lamprey, and sturgeon populations from exposure to legacy, emergency, and current use toxins and environmental chemical mixtures. Now we face another threat along the Columbia and other rivers in our treaty-ceded area. The long trains filled with crude oil from North Dakota roll across many rivers, and they roll along our reservations, looming over the fishers at Shears Bridge and close by fishers at the 31 Inlu fishing and access sites along the Big River. The rail cars are not modern. They do not survive derailment, as we saw in the Mosier event last year. Please pass House Bill 5518 with policy option package number 134, spill response, to reduce pollution of our rivers and poisoning of the fish people. Thank you for the opportunity to address you on behalf of the Warm Springs tribes about this critical budget. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have Jay. Oh, gracious. Both of which yes, please. And Merlin Howe from Lane County, please.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Frederick and Witt and members of the committee. My name is Jay Bozovich. I am a Lane County commissioner, and as such, I am the appointed member of the Lane Regional Air Protection Authority's board for the Board of Commissioners, and as such, I serve as vice chair of the LRAPA board. I am also the Association of Oregon Counties representative to the Cleaner Air Advisory Committee. We're here today to request restoration of full funding of the general fund budget to Lane Regional Air Protection Authority. We just managed to achieve attainment for Oak Ridge, Oregon for PM25, one of two last areas of Oregon that failed to meet federal clean air standards. Oak Ridge has a 22% poverty rate, one of the highest school-age poverty rates in the state, approaching 40%. It's an environmental justice issue if we can't continue to maintain that attainment. LRAP is funded by a combination of local dues, state general fund, and EPA matching funds to both the state and local contribution, as well as our permit fees and other funds. We've already taken a cut in our budget. Back from the 2008 recession and the reduction of SRS, we've had to take a significant cut because the local governments couldn't match and the state was looking for cuts. The 09-11 biennium had us funded at $364,000. The 11-13 budget was $252,000, a reduction of over $100,000. We've taken our cut. The proposed 10% cut of almost $27,000 will not only affect our budget, but also affects our EPA match. So it's not just that $27,000, it's risk. We're a agency that operates very efficiently. I can't imagine that the state could provide services to the almost 10% of the population of the state that Lane County represents for $252,000 a biennium. So I would request that you restore the LRAPA budget back to the full amount and not take the 10% cut that is proposed. And I'll let our executive director get into the numbers here.
Thank you, co-chairs Frederick and Witt and subcommittee members. I'm Merlin Huff. I'm executive director of the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency, and our budget is part of the DEQ budget in Senate Bill 5518. The two concerns, we cover them in two brief written testimonies, one a week ago. It's probably referred to as LRAPA 1, and then also we added a couple bar graphs in testimony today that's probably referred to as LRAPA 2. The two issues, the two concerns are the same. Overall, we support the budget, especially the air quality portion that we're more familiar with, but there are the two concerns. One is, as Commissioner Bozovich highlighted, we would request the restoration of the $26,000 and some dollars that are would represent a 10% cut in LRAPA for the reasons he outlined. We're essentially at risk of losing four times that amount. So even though the state general fund is a modest contributor to our overall budget, because of that fourfold weighting, it's a big deal for us. Back in 2008, since then, we've lost about 40% of our state general fund. Because of the matching, we've lost almost that same amount of number of staff of the agency, about a 35% reduction in our staff. We were a little over 23 FTE back in fiscal year 2008, and we're currently operating at what we had hoped would be a sustainable rate of about 15 or 15.1, counting intern help that we get. So those are our two concerns, or that's our first concern. The second concern is in Cleaner Air Oregon proposal that DEQ has before you. Most of that is taken care of with fee increases, with air contaminant discharge permits. We also can do that, but the general fund, there is some small amount of general fund that's needed in order to fully fill that gap. We have that same kind of gap, and if we look at the number of permitted facilities we have most likely affected by where that program is going, we have about 18% of those facilities in the state. So what we would ask that you would include in the budget 18% of that general fund, the 130-some thousand identified in DEQ's budget, that 18% of that 20-some thousand would be available to LRAPA for the same purpose. Thank you very much, and we're available for questions.
Any questions? No? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Would like to talk with you at some point, though, about some of the air things as well. So put me on your list, if you would, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Now call up Jim Orr, Eric Feely, and Blakely Gilbert. Is Blakely Gilbert here?
Yes, he is.
Why don't we have all three of you there since you're part of the same group? Is there another chair that can be moved over? There is, right there. Thank you. Please go ahead and introduce yourselves and continue.
Yes, I'll start. Thank you, co-chairs Frederick, Witt, and committee members for listening to our testimony. I'm Jim Orr, president of DEQ Local 3336. I've worked for the past 9 years managing DEQ Portland Harbor cleanup assignments, and 6 years before that with the Department of Transportation. I wish to offer testimony for the Department of Environmental Quality Policy Option Package 161, Environmental Data Management System. The DEQ Local 336 employees strongly support changes to the information technology system to allow efficient, responsive, and transparent management of data and information. DEQ has an urgent need to upgrade the current technology in use. DEQ Local 336 has the following significant concerns with the implementation of this proposal. Number one, not allowing labor to have representation on the governance committee. A lack of investment in the current information technology staff. 10 vacant information technology positions that remain unfilled. And development of a transparent human capital management plan that allows for in-house employees to fully serve state needs after this package is implemented. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes, please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Co-Chairs Frederick and Witt, and committee members for allowing my testimony. My name is Eric Feely. I'm the chief steward with AFSCME Local 3336, Department of Environmental Quality, represented staff. I have worked for the past 5 years as a chemist at the DEQ laboratory in Hillsborough. And if you haven't been out to the laboratory facility in Hillsborough, I highly encourage it. We offer fantastic tours, and you can see what we do out there. It's really pretty amazing. I'm here today to offer testimony to encourage your support of DEQ programs and policy option packages. I strongly support Governor Brown's proposed budget that increases funding for certain DEQ programs. DEQ is responsible for environmental protection and requires additional resources to carry out its mission. DEQ relies on technical experts to effectively achieve these goals. Over the last 15 years, DEQ has shed over 100 positions in the agency. These cuts have led to a threadbare institution, and that can hamper its ability to respond to the public's needs. Now, I sat in on a public meeting in Cleveland High School about a year ago where there was about 700 people putting that on display. So many of you probably heard about that situation. More cuts to DEQ is not the right direction and will not address the demands that the public places on us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Co-chairs Frederick and Witt and members of the committee, thank you for letting me have the opportunity to provide testimony today on the DEQ budget. My name is Blakely Gilbert, and I'm here today in my role as a member and steward of AFSCME Local 3336 DEQ. I work at Northeast Clean Air Station VIP program, vehicle inspection program, and I just wanted to call attention to our program and the need for staffing. While VIP is not included in the governor's recommended budget for a fee increase, we believe there's a need for fees that would adequately staff the VIP program. Some examples to that, we've been running, you know, low staffed for some time, and I think there is some possible cuts in staff in the future. Hopefully not. What that's going to do is impact the public, as in wait times. It puts a lot of more workload on each individual as an inspector. We're high volume. If you haven't been through DEQ, it's a pretty high volume operation, 3 to 5 minutes per car when everything's moving good. And what happens when we have people out sick, on vacation, lunchtime, break times, when we have to go down. We do operate with about 70 inspectors. We do pull from each station to cover stations that are short. So those areas like Northeast Portland, when we are short, the public, you know, doesn't have to wait. So we'll grab people from other stations. But the impact on the population, 2014, we had a lot of new people move to Oregon, to the cities, which of course they bring one or two cars with them. So that has increased the volume, and we suspect that, you know, people are still going to continue to move. Also with, you know, current situations, people are keeping their cars longer, so the cars are getting older. People aren't just buying the new cars that would be exempt from that test. The VIP is, my understanding, a fee-based, not a general fund, and we're just asking that you would consider a fee that would adequately staff this critical clean air program. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes,
Representative Lewis. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question on the Portland operation. Do you have the figures on how many cars a day go through the station?
I do not have that figure with me today. I could probably testify to at Northeast. We have flows of high traffic times, days, and end of the month, beginning of the month, and a lull. I'm afraid I don't have that information, but I could testify. I generally personally test anywhere from 85 people to my highest amount was 123 in one day, and that's just me personally, not counting for that lane when I'm on lunch and breaks, you know, because we try to keep lanes open, and that's the issue when we're short-staffed and lunch and breaks. So, yeah. And that can be information we could get to the committee if necessary.
Thank you.
That would be good if you could get that to the committee. That would be very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And now I'm going to call Catherine Vanetta, Mike Fries, and Heath Curtis. And if I mispronounce your name, I apologize. People usually put an S on the end of my name, or Frederick's son, or all sorts of things. So
you can remember Vanetta because it sounds very similar to banana. So you'll never forget it.
Never forget it. Thank you.
For the record, Catherine Vanetta, Director of Regulatory and Governmental Affairs for the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association. We've submitted testimony for the record. You can read our background information there. On behalf of NWPPA, for the last 22 years, I've worked with the Department of Environmental Quality sitting on environmental policy matters, and today we'd like to share our perspectives with the committee. First of all, on DEQ operations, the DEQ recently announced a reorganization of management to align with air, water, and land quality issue areas. We support the reorganization and believe it will help focus and strengthen the agency's water permitting work, which is highly important to the regulatory community. On industrial stormwater permits and water permits, you've heard the challenges that the agency is facing. First of all, on stormwater permits, they're reissued every 5 years. They're a general permit, and we're now in the public comment period of that renewal process. This is work is very important to us and to all Oregonians. The draft permit, we think, could use a little bit more work. We think that it misses some key arithmetic, and we think that the comment period should be extended so we can have some more time to analyze that. And we will be, industry will be submitting a request for an extension on stormwater. On the NPDES water permit project and the permit backlog, yes, Oregon does have a large NPDES permit backlog. Yes, our permits are on that backlog. We face extreme challenges to renew or issue water permits that are based on water quality standards that are unattainable in Oregon waters, like temperature, or in situations where there is no treatment technology in existence to meet very stringent toxic standards. We believe that this work is very important. We stand ready to work with the agency, and we believe, like the tribes, that the legislature should fully support the water quality work in addition to the recent focus on air quality issues that we see at the agency. And then turning to air fees, I think it's important to realize that as Oregon's facilities close down and are not replaced by equal-sized industries, that your fee revenue decreases. Case in point, pulp and paper mills closing, decreased fees about $500,000 right there on the Title V program over time. And right now, the department is requesting an increase in air quality fees, and we find that in year 2017, a departure from our past where we supported fees, we find that we cannot support this fee request now. We think that the department did not do its usual high quality outreach to the community, and they did not quantify, qualify, and explain the nexus to us. Part of these fees work with the Clean Air Oregon program, and we don't know what that program is going to be, but there is a bridge budget request, and since we don't know what the program is going to be, we're trying to figure out what the appropriate amount for those fees are. And the details are in our testimony, but we would ask that you take a close look at the air permit fees and seek to understand the need, the use, the timing, and the nexus of these permit fees and the overall Cleaner Air Oregon program, as we go forward, and please consider that facilities that are operating are the ones that pay DEQ fees. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you come, I don't see that testimony online for us.
Is a little bit late, so.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure. So it will be, just put it up? Okay. I'll have to refresh my thing. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mike Fries. I represent Associated Oregon Industries, and Oregon Business Association, who represent about 1,600 member companies in Oregon that employ roughly 250,000 Oregonians. Similar to Ms. Vanetta's testimony, we find ourselves in a little bit of a different role this session, and it's an unfortunate one, to be sure. We have for a long time, supported increasing the agency's budget, whether it be fees or general fund, and we today are not in that same position. In part, and I think in large part, the role that the DEQ has had over the last year, we are really, really happy to see that that Director Whitman is in place, and we can now continue to work with a steady leader at the agency. We do believe that that we'll see significant improvements in just simple communication efforts with our membership to make sure that the agency and businesses are able to work together really for the betterment of Oregon. In the written testimony that I think you all just received, there are a number of policy option packages in particular that we have identified as being the most concerning, in particular around Cleaner Air Oregon fees. Most of this is the result of what we don't know. The agency, as you've heard, is undertaking quite a significant rulemaking that we have been fortunate to participate in. The details of that rulemaking are really to be determined at this time, yet the agency is asking for significant fee increases to support a program that we don't know anything about, you don't know anything about, and our member companies are quite concerned to know what will be the details of compliance, what are the fee amounts going to be, and what are the impacts to them and their employees. I've identified policy option package 110, 112, 113, and 116 as problematic, and you can see in the written testimony in particular some of those reasons. But also highlight that we think it's really important, especially for the legislature, to understand that the agency is in fact underfunded. That is not a question. We cannot support continuing to add programs to DEQ's plate and expect that other places, including their core programs in air, land, and water, will not suffer. So as this subcommittee, the full Joint and Ways and Means Committee, and the legislature consider other bills and other programs that would put strains on DEQ's current budget, please reconsider. And happy to take any questions.
Why don't you go ahead, and we'll have the whole panel for questions.
Very good. Co-Chair Frederick and Co-Chair Witt, for the record, my name is Heath Curtis, and I'm with the Oregon Forest Industries Council. OFIC represents Oregon's large timber landowners. Our members own or control about 5 million acres of private forest lands in Oregon, and we represent the vast majority of forest product manufacturers. My ask for you today is that in working with DEQ, you encourage them to focus on their core competencies. And as Mike and Catherine indicated, the agency is too frequently asked to bite off more than it can chew, and I fear that some of what's proposed for you this session may be in the same vein. DEQ has a big job, and in some cases, an impossible job. As you heard Ms. Vanetta mention earlier, as a result of a 2012 court case, Oregon's temperature standard is literally unobtainable in most water bodies. Putting more money into an environmental data management system isn't going to enable us to permit facilities on those water bodies any easier. When the answer is you can't hit the water quality standard, you can't issue the permit. So I would encourage you to focus the agency on water quality standards promulgation and identifying targets and goals that we can actually hit in Oregon. The agency has also faced extraordinary challenges with four directors in the last 12 months. A symptom of that is, for example, Oregon's pesticide general permit. That was set to expire in September. The agency published a draft permit in June. The stakeholders issued submitted comments to the agency on those in July, and it expired in September, and it remains expired today. I don't think that's because the agency isn't concerned about that permit. I think it's because the agency has stretched 4 million different directions. I would hope that in their prioritization of their funding that you would focus on the core programs, the things we have in place today, before moving to others. And then finally, as Mike and Catherine both mentioned, OFIC is struggling to support Clean Air Oregon Package 116. As mentioned, we're in a pretty extraordinary situation where we're being asked to support fees for a program we literally don't know the size of or who's going to pay for it or what it's going to be spent on. And so in that vein, please ask for more clarity around that package before you ask the regulated industry to pay for it. So with that, I really appreciate you taking our testimony today.
Are there any questions for this panel? No? No questions? All right. Thank you very much. I'll call up Jim Myron, Peggy Lynch. Just the two of you come up at this point. And since you two are pros at this, you know how to start that off, if you would.
Mr. Co-Chairs and members, my name is Jim Myron. I'm here representing Willamette Riverkeeper. I think our comments are online, so I will just briefly summarize a few things. First of all, we do support the DEQ's budget, and we support particularly the policy option package that would provide the bonding authority for the Willamette River Harbor cleanup, get that started. Our major concern is the fact that the agency is underfunded for its toxics water monitoring program. We've had some conversations over the last few months with DEQ staff and others, and in order to really bring that program up to capacity would take about a doubling of its current operation, which is probably pretty unachievable in the current budget climate. It would amount to 9 FTE plus $600,000 for additional equipment. But that, in an ideal world, that's what they need. We'd be happy with some increase over what the current budget is, because it's a critically important program. So I'll just leave you with that and be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, and members of the committee. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. There is a three-page epistle in OLIS talking about the multitude of issues that DEQ deals with. The League of Women Voters has strong positions on both water quality and quantity, as well as air quality, solid waste, and hazardous waste. Perhaps every program that DEQ oversees, and it's because of that you will see those programs mentioned individually in our letter. We support the general fund, lottery fund, and fees of the base budget, but we're dismayed by the cuts list that reduces the needed staff, particularly in the area of water quality. The entire dollar amount still does not provide for the full funding needed to be sure that both administration and enforcement of many responsibilities of this agency are fulfilled. I'm going to really quickly talk about the air quality issue. Conversely to the previous panel, we support the concepts around House Bill 2269, which is the fee bill for the air quality program. That bill is being amended and will narrow simply to a one-time stand-up fee to get this program going while the rulemaking is completed. And there is an assumption that they will come back in 2018 to actually get the entire fee make it the correct amount to deal with the program that is finally determined by this rulemaking. And so so there has been discussion between the parties about how best to do this. So I just want to raise that issue. On water quality, there was a budget note in 2015 around finding solutions to the wastewater permits, and you heard Ms. Van Anna mention that whole issue. The contractor provided a path, and this legislature, to a solution to this extremely important public health and economic issue. It is about jobs in Oregon as well as our clean water. But only a few of these suggestions are included in the budget, and you will see in our letter some dialogue around that whole conversation and what occurred during that. We do support the electronic data management system. We have to have data to do it right. Part of the discussion around the wastewater permitting is that our permittees or our permit writers are going around to multitude of places to get the data to be able to do the permits. And if we could have them in one place, please. But we do want to make sure that it's done correctly and slowly. We do support the idea of holding back the bonding on purchase of the equipment until 2018, when there is more work that has been done to make sure that what we're purchasing is the right thing. But we also support the idea of an off-the-shelf and not creating a new and different kind of program. I do want to mention that there was discussion in this committee about the NOAA funds and the holdback. So I have provided in my letter a link to that conversation so that you can understand. As is true with many other water issues, the answers reside in yet another agency's board in this place, in this situation, the Board of Forestry, and their unwillingness to address the need for additional riparian setbacks and the legacy logging roads on our coastal areas. We are pleased, however, that the on-site septic issue, and you will see that in our letter, has been at least beginning to be addressed, which was also a part of the coastal issues. And then I handed a one-page sheet to Julie that I wanted you to be sure and see. You have heard me talk about cross-agency. This is the Integrated Water Resources Strategy that was adopted in 2012. It is a cross-agency document to say these are the ways we need to make sure we have abundant clean water for all in Oregon. And I sent around the placemat, which shows the various things that are being done or should be being done in various agencies to make sure that that happens. This is not just a one agency issue. And it frustrates me when I see, for instance, in this DEQ budget that the groundwater people have been are on the cuts list, and yet you will see in the Water Resources Agency budget how you are going to be asked for more funding for groundwater studies, which we believe needs to happen. We also believe that place-based planning in local areas to try to come up with solutions is a good answer to that, to our needs for getting clean water for all. But this budget reduces the staffing for DEQ to be a part of that conversation. We can't just have water resources be a part of it. It has to be clean water and abundant clean water for all. I talk about your KPMs. I talk about climate change, on-site septic, and the land quality program. Basically, DEQ is at the core of Oregon's public health and environmental protection. This agency needs whatever money you can scrape together. And in the meantime, as I have said before, the League will continue to work to see in other committees where we can find more money for all of Oregon's needs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Peggy, did you include any scientific studies on the riparian setbacks?
I did not include it in this testimony. It's I believe there is some in others. The issue is whether we have those scientific studies or not. NOAA has said, "Thou shalt do some of those things," and there has been a small movement at the Board of Forestry. But it, at this point, we don't believe it's significant enough to get us the $6 million back that we need, three in each agency.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Senator Girard.
I represent the timber areas, and Really, what you're saying is it really hits home to me personally in the fact that Portland has the most water pollution in the state. They have the most air pollution in the state. And it just seems like every time we go out to rural Oregon and try to take jobs away where there isn't a problem. I live on the North San Juan River. I live on one of the purest rivers in the state, and there's no air pollution out there. So why do you keep going after rural Oregon and not Portland?
Co-chairs, Senator Girard, I go after anybody where pollution exists. I will tell you that in this particular instance, we are talking about the coastal zone management area, which is the coastal area. And these are legacy logging roads. They are not roads that are necessarily being used today and do not, should not affect the timber industry. The riparian area issue is a tough issue because we know that in order to make sure that our salmon and other fish deal with the TMDLs, the total maximum daily loads that you just heard about, we need to make sure that there is enough cover for those streams to make sure that they don't exceed a temperature and we don't lose the fish that we're having. And with climate change, it's a real serious issue. I grew up with timber. Timber put a roof over my head and food on my table. I am not interested in reducing the timber industry. The good news is the private forests in Oregon are successful, and we need to make sure that we keep private forestry in Oregon. Because they are a very successful industry.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
I'm going to call up Tracy Rutten and Mark Landauer, please. Please go right ahead.
Thank you, co-chairs. My name is Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of Oregon's Municipal Water Quality Practitioners, the League of Oregon Cities, the Special Districts Association of Oregon, and the Association of Clean Water Agencies. Appreciate the opportunity to testify before you today on DEQ's budget. Many of our local governments operate wastewater treatment plants and manage urban stormwater in Oregon, and we see the department as a critical partner in protecting and enhancing Oregon's water quality. It is in our interest for DEQ to be a strong regulatory partner. Having up-to-date water quality permits is critical. As you have heard, permits that are expired cannot be changed or updated until they are renewed. This can have the impact of reducing both innovation and the use of new technologies at wastewater treatment plants. We rely on DEQ for inspections of Oregon's wastewater treatment plants to ensure first-class operation and to routinely review reports and other information as a regulatory agency and to provide us with timely feedback so we can make sound decisions. Our members have historically been and continue to be extremely concerned about the department's poor performance in the water quality program. In 2001, Oregon had one of the highest backlog rates in the nation for processing and renewing major NPDES individual permits. At that time, stakeholders, including the municipalities, convened a Blue Ribbon Committee under DEQ's leadership. The committee completed recommendations for improving the program in 2004 and issued a report entitled The Blue Ribbon Committee Report on Key Enhancements to the Oregon Wastewater Permitting Program. In 2005, Senate Bill 45 was enacted by the legislature instituting the funding and program improvements recommended by the committee. This report included a number of key DEQ activities and an agreement by permit holders that up to 3% annual fee increases could be instituted to keep the DEQ current with its water quality permitting obligations. A key aspect of the 2005 legislation was a water quality program funding agreement that the program would be funded by 60% fees and 40% general fund. While water quality permit fees have routinely increased in the past 10 years, we have remained very much concerned that the DEQ permit backlog, which remains one of the highest in the nation. In 2015, DEQ requested a fee increase of 12% over the two-year biennium with a commitment that it would was implemented via a budget note to hire a third-party consultant that would conduct a thorough review of water quality program and that would identify deficiencies and make recommendations for improvements. We were on part of that. We were a part of that process during the interim and will continue to monitor the department's implementation of recommendations for improvements as identified in the report dated in December of 16. At this point, I'll turn it over to Ms. Rutten to discuss further. Thank you.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, Tracy Rutten with League of Oregon Cities, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm going to speak very specifically to the wastewater water quality program as related to the budget before you today, and note that in terms of the impacts for fees for our municipal wastewater treatment providers specifically, the 2017-18 biennium assumes a 3% increase for 2017 and another 3% increase for 2018. If policy option package 125 moves forward, there would be an additional 4% increase in 2018 for a combined total of 7% on our MPDS and water quality permits. As Mark already mentioned, there was an agreement made back in 2005 for 3% annual fee increases going forward. We have historically supported those fee increases, as we saw it as part of the deal that was made after those conversations and part of the Blue Ribbon Committee. Again, it's a conundrum, I think, for us as we continue to grapple with how to make really critical and needed improvements to the water quality programming or program, and also experiencing ongoing fee increases and wanting to make sure that those fee increases actually make differences and improvements in the program, because we do rely very much on that program. We see DEQ again as a really key partner to be able to have the certainty that we need to move forward in investments for our communities. Again, any of the fee increases that we deal with are going to either impact our local government service levels or they're going to result in fee increases to our ratepayers. And so it's something that we take very seriously. And again, have a fiduciary responsibility to those ratepayers to make sure that they're seeing water quality improvements at the local level, especially and across the state. I think Director Whitman was very much correct in his testimony. The certainty factor for us is really, really critical. As you heard Friday, we have significant infrastructure needs. The latest ACEC report card on infrastructure, as you heard, identified $3.89 billion in wastewater-specific needs. That does not include our drinking water supply needs, and that is over the next 20 years. So it's a substantial and very heavy lift. Recently, Representative Helm and myself were talking about one of his concepts dealing with ecosystem services and more green infrastructure opportunities to address infrastructure needs. And it's something that we're very interested in having conversations about. But in the context of that conversation, I reminded him that certainty with DEQ is really critical. We had a really successful program at City of Prineville. If you have the opportunity to tour, they have a really innovative project out there dealing with their wastewater treatment. A mechanical treatment solution was going to cost over $60 million for that community. They were able to do something really innovative that had both environmental and community benefits and cost, I believe, right around $8.8 million. So a lot of cost savings plus other added benefits for that project. We like to see those projects move forward. We think that those are great projects. But again, if we don't have certainty in the permitting process going forward, it's really difficult for us to make those type of investments, not knowing if 5 or 10 years down the road we're going to actually meet water quality standards. Again, I would echo that what Mark has said in terms of DEQ being that critical partner for us. We're very much looking forward to working through the recommendations of the report. We were in agreement to move forward on the 12% increase during the last biennium because we really do want to see those improvements move forward. The last thing I will say is in regards to the stormwater program. I think the same way that we have really taken a hard look at the water quality program as a whole, stormwater program for us is a component of that. We do have concerns from the municipal side of the stormwater program as they move to a new general permit. There are fee increases associated in this budget with the stormwater program. We have a lot of questions. I think we will reach out to the new director and staff to talk through those questions and concerns, as we're not certain what the fee increases are going to actually look like for our communities that are covered under MS4 Phase 2 or Phase 1 communities and permits. So we want to make sure that we're seeing the appropriate level of staffing and that we're not looking at an unattainable permit that's not cost effective. I think the director talked about the next increment of water quality improvement being really challenging, and I think we're seeing that in the stormwater program and want to make sure that those investments are going to result in water quality improvements. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, you've described, I think, very well part of the dilemma that we face. You've described DEQ as a very important partner of yours, how important it is for wastewater monitoring. And if I'm to paraphrase Heath Curtis, it's a agency with a big mission and inadequate resources. A deal is a deal is a deal. I understand the 3% that you all agreed to. As far as I'm concerned, that's sacrosanct. But if you and others are suggesting that we have a backlog, that monitoring is important, we have inadequate resources, at what point do we as policymakers need to be considering the 4% increase for additional monitoring costs?
Co-Chair Witt, and the 4%, just to clarify and make sure we're on the same page, the 4% is in the proposed budget and policy option package.
Yes.
And again, I would describe our position on that as being in a continual conundrum. What we want to see, and keep in mind, too, that the report that came out from the consultants was released in December of 16. And it is not a simple report. I would say, reading through there, you see that this is a really complex situation that they're looking at. And that's why we are very much committed to continuing to work with the department as they implement those recommendations. We have no certainty in knowing whether it's going to work or not. Again, we also know, though, if we don't continue to work through this, as painful as that might be, that we're not going to see any improvements going forward. So I wish my answer to you was more simple, but it's challenging for our members.
Go ahead.
Tracy, I wish you know, you'd outline that blueprint for us, because that was why I asked the question. But that's why we get paid the big bucks, I guess. So.
Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? Thank you both. Appreciate it. Tom Wolfe. Is that John Chandler? Oh, there he is. He is back there. I was looking around for you, and I didn't see you.
Co-Chair Fredericks, Co-Chair Witt, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolfe, representing Trout Unlimited, and you've heard that spiel before, so I won't tell you how many members we have. I'm here to support SB 5518, and I want to talk specifically about stormwater, because I spent, while I've also been doing this to you, I spent 15 years on the Tualatin Watershed Council, both in leadership and as the co-chair. And at one time, I had this really nice employee in my service that I helped hire called Jacqueline Dingfelder. So I've done a lot of work on stormwater management, on urban streams. And I'm here to, Trout Unlimited is here to support specifically SB, Policy Package Option 120, the stormwater staffing, and to ask not only that this be supported, but we continue to look at ways to deal with stormwater. In a study that I worked with ODFW and some others in the basin on, we looked at the impact of stormwater on native fish and discovered much to not surprise, but concern that as we continue to build cities, as we continue to have roads, and I live in a city that in 25 years has grown from 20,000 to over 100,000, and we have some major development issues there, and literally some of the streams in my system, like Rock Creek, Dairy Creek, Mackay Creek, will literally, if there's a heavy rain event, they will literally get 4 feet higher in as much as an hour because of the stormwater runoff. So this is a major problem, because there's also been studies done by American Fishery Societies and others that show that when fish come out of the Willamette, they come out of the Clackamas, they tend to hold right at the mouth of where the Willamette runs into the Columbia as they kind of go through that whole smoltification process and get ready to make their bid into the ocean. And so therefore, when they're doing this, if they have major impacts from stormwater runoffs that can impact them, then it can have a detrimental impact on those smolts. So I think stormwater, from a fish group's perspective, is very important, and DEQ is the lead group on that issue. So I ask that in our budget considerations, and other people have touched on TU's concerns on other areas, but on the stormwater package, 120, and stormwater in general, they need to have funding, they need to be able to do their job, and they need to do things that will help the fish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association. I find myself in a somewhat unique position today. I'm not supportive of the budget request in front of you, but I'm very supportive of the agency, and particularly of its new director. Director Whitman and I have worked together in many capacities, many places over the years, and while we haven't always agreed, and I for the life of me cannot figure out why on earth he agreed to take the position he's got, he's a quality individual, and I think will do a good job with this agency. My concern about the budget request in front of you, though, does hark back to the amount of work DEQ is being asked to do in previous legislatures and this session, and the deal that you've already heard others testify to. I was part of that original conversation, actually two or three or four conversations prior to that one, in which we tried to set the balance between general fund, the public paying for environmental protection, and the industries, be it stormwater, air quality, what have you, paying their piece of it. And there's always a delicate balance there between the permittees paying for things and the general public paying for things, both as to direction and quality and so on. The fee increases, I'd say we've upheld our end of the bargain, but we didn't have a choice in the matter. We go in for a permit, and we get given an invoice, and you pay it or you don't get the permit. What I'm concerned about is the state holding up its end of the bargain. And from my perspective, the deal that we struck was implicit. We would have a split of costs. The state would pick up its piece, the permittees pick up their piece, and every session, and this session is no exception, that seems to get nibbled at and eroded. And that's my concern about the program. The DEQ has been asked to do three backflips, need a bug. And that's a very difficult set of tasks to do, particularly if there's no bug available when you do the three backflips. And the funding is essential for this agency to operate. It's one of the very few operations where simply substituting better people or different people or other people doesn't get you there. It costs money to do this work. Looking at fee payers, or by extension rate payers, as is passed on by local governments, I think is simply cheating, for want of a better way to put it. So my point here is, I understand the difficulty, and I've said this in other hearings in this very room, the difficulty in front of you as far as the balancing the budget this session are concerned. This agency is a priority. It is responsible for much of what we consider iconic about the state. It, DLCD, share a similar burden in terms of amount of emotional, emotive, political weight put upon them and dearth of resources with which to respond to that weight. So my plea to you is, if you cannot fund the positions adequately and the programs adequately that are being discussed, then take a look at those programs in a substantive fashion in your other committee assignment. It is that balancing act. If the work exceeds the resources available to do it properly, then the work ought not be assigned. We figure out some other way to do it. This is too important. The water quality, air quality, land quality, this agency generally is too important to halfway it. And that's going to be the temptation, I know, and I would encourage you strongly to resist and to look at making sure that what comes out of this process, both in terms of substantive work assignments and budgets for accomplishing the same, are matched up. I'm glad to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I enjoyed Tom Wolfe's smultification.
And 150,000 members.
155.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We're going to call up Marianne. Is it Knorr?
Nash.
Thank you. And Paige Spence, if that's possible. Paige? Thanks. Go ahead, please.
Co-chairs Frederick and Witt, members of the committee, my name is Marianne Nash, here today on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. I have written testimony on OLIS, so I will not belabor too many of those points. But we had kind of three main points we wanted to make about DEQ's budget. And the first is, as we've been hearing for the last hour, I know there's several priorities and several program areas that need attention. But one of the ones that I think keeps getting cut and cut again, because there's not as many people asking for it, is the groundwater program. So we're here today to ask for it and to say we think that's an important program, particularly in rural areas, and one that we would like not to have further cuts. In the governor's recommended budget, it was proposed for some cuts. It had gotten back some continuation funding in the 15-17 biennium that we're worried will not be continued on for the upcoming biennium. Since we know that there are budgeting difficulties, also wanted to point to, I think you've heard some folks speak to the EDMS system, the Electronic Data Management System. We think that it is important that the state prioritize meeting the new e-reporting requirements of the EPA. However, we think the DEQ is asking, we said, for the Bentley when the Cadillac will do, and the more appropriate analogy might be the Bentley when the Ford will do. I think that there's ways to make that meet those data management needs without asking for such a robust program right away. And so we think that's one where we might be able to look to shave that down a little bit. And finally, I think it goes without saying that DEQ has a lot of important priorities, but we'd echo Heath's ask that they focus on their core priorities. We've seen several instances over the last year where they're undertaking projects maybe without consulting sister agencies that are working on similar work, resulting in duplication of resources, duplication of time, and also some efforts where they've undertaken at the request of petitions or otherwise rulemaking, one of the most recent being the North Fork Smith River, where they spent hundreds of hours of staff time working for additional protections for a river that is already a federal wild and scenic river, already within a wilderness area and subject to a mining moratorium where there's no current threat to it. But they still spent tons of hours of staff time and resources on it that I think would have been better spent serving some of their core programs and their core functions. So with an agency that is continually shaved down, I think it's very important that as those cuts happen, they double down on focusing on their core programs and maybe spend less time on some less urgent priorities. So with that, I will conclude. Thank you.
Paige, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Frederick and Witt and committee members. For the record, my name is Paige Spence, and I'm the director of the Oregon Conservation Network. OCN is coordinated through the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, and we are a coalition of nearly 40 not-for-profit organizations united to advocate for pro-conservation legislation and to fight policies that threaten our state's natural legacy. OCN includes groups such as the Oregon Environmental Council, Trout Unlimited, and the League of Women Voters of Oregon, who are all either in this room or in the overflow room today. In this session, we have six legislative priorities as OCN, including protecting our natural resource agency's budgets. So with DEQ, it's a critically important agency for all of our work. They provide oversight services for the air we breathe, the water we all drink, and they oversee vehicle emissions, asbestos, hazardous waste, industrial toxics cleanup, electronics recycling, and many other critical services that protect our state's natural environment and our citizenry's public health. OCN is particularly supportive of the air quality policy packages 110, 112, 113, 115, and 116, with specific emphasis on ensuring that DEQ can adequately address diesel emissions moving forward. We also strongly support the recommended water quality policy packages 120, 125, and 181 and 191. DEQ needs to be able to continue to help implement effective strategies to reduce urban stormwater discharges and also have the capacity to ensure that water quality permits protect our state's water resources. OCN is deeply concerned about reductions in key water programs that are already significantly underfunded, including toxics monitoring, groundwater, and setting water quality standards to meet Clean Water Act requirements. We strongly support maintaining these programs by incorporating policy packages 121 and 122, and I thank you for the time to speak about DEQ's budget today.
Thank you very much. Any questions of these two? No? Thank you very much. And I just have just one more person. Angela, is there anyone else who wanted to speak to this? No? Okay, thank you. Wait just one second. Anyone else in the overflow room that wanted to speak to this? Since there is an overflow room. No? All right. Well, let me know. Come in the door if you do need to. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Thank you, Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, members of the committee. Angela Crowley-Cook, I'm the Legislative Director at Oregon Environmental Council. Oregon Environmental Council supports robust funding for the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. Looking through the cuts list and the presentations we've been hearing from the agency, it's so disappointing to see all the really great, important programs that are on the cut list this year. This is the air we breathe, the water we drink that fish need to live. It's really disappointing to see so many great programs and great work that the agency staff does up for cuts this year. I know we're in a tough budget situation, but this work's really important. I think you all know that. So in particular, we support the recommended air quality policy packages, 110, 112, 113, 115, and 116. The work of Cleaner Air Oregon is really important. We hope to see that funded. Community members really want to have confidence in the agency that the air they breathe is not harming themselves and their families. In addition, we advocate for the inclusion of policy package 114, which helps to address wood smoke emissions, which are a problem all over the state. When it comes to water, as I mentioned, we're really disappointed to see some of the toxics monitoring work, the groundwater management areas cut, and we support the other policy option packages, 120, 125, 181, and 191, about urban stormwater in particular. The Pesticide Stewardship Partnership is another program that's been pretty successful. You heard about that when the agencies were giving their testimony. It's a voluntary program for private landowners to decrease pesticide runoff, and we want to make sure that that work continues. It's a cost saver, too. And so the last two, oh, no, there's a few more we support. Packages 121 and 122, making sure that we're meeting our Clean Water Act requirements. We are disappointed that the on the cuts list is DEQ's work related to the Integrated Water Resources Strategy, that figuring out how to deal with non-point source pollution when it comes to water quality is critical. We support the Lead Paint Task Force, Policy Package 136, and Package 161, the Data Management System. We really need to bring our agencies up to speed and become more modern so we can handle things better and faster. Lastly, we would like to support the inclusion of Package 134, which is not currently, which wasn't recommended, but that's about the oil train spills, and that's something, as we know, is a problem in Oregon. We've had one accident so far, at least one, maybe more than one, and we really need to make sure we're prepared for anything that might happen in the future. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Are there any questions here? No? I guess not. Thank you very much, Angela. Well, if there's no one else who wants to speak to the DEQ budget, I think what I'll do is I will close this public testimony and public hearing on SB 5518, and I'll close the subcommittee meeting on natural resources for today. And we will be back tomorrow. I think we start talking about the energy, the Department of Energy, correct. We're closing the subcommittee hearing as well. Thank you. Thank you. And the subcommittee hearing as well.